96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. Your questions or comments, toll free at 855-288-4876. Now, Insight.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. When it comes to dealing with D.C.'s violent crime issue, what would you do to solve it? Well, the D.C. government is planning to pay violent offenders to stop committing crimes. This idea comes from a program in Richmond, California, designed to address that city's homicide rate. Well, what is this about? How will it work? And what do you think about it? Well, my guests are Raymond Bell, founder and executive director of the Hope Project, and Samande Lloyd, a life coach and advocate for convicted felons. We are also waiting to hear from Ward 8 Councilmember LaRubi May. She is expected to be on the program as soon as she gives us a call. If we're able to contact her, she will be on this program. But lines are open. Give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Certainly, you can comment on my Facebook page at facebook.com/Harold T. Fisher or follow me on Twitter at Daily Drum WHUR. Thank you all for joining me. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having us.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, so while we're waiting on the council member, let me also say that we reached out to several council members who were unavailable to participate in this discussion. However, the D.C. council did unanimously approve of this plan. The mayor, D.C. Mayor Muriel Bowser, is not a fan of it. But, Ray, let me start with you. As a person who has been involved with making sure that people are employed who come from underserved communities, what is your thought about this plan?
Well, first of all, thank you for having me on.
Sure.
Harold, I really appreciate it. So I think that, unfortunately, this is a weak attempt to address a problem much bigger than just simply paying kids to stay out of trouble. I've been doing work in the city for with young adults since 2009. We've been doing it very successfully. And a large number of my students are the kids that the city now wants to pay to literally stay out of trouble. We've had conversations at our school for the last couple of days, even on social media, and they're all frustrated because it's sending the wrong message.
I see. We do have Council Member LaRubi May on from Ward 8 here in the district. Council Member May, thank you so much for joining me. Council Member, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yes, I most certainly can. I know we only have you until 7:30, so can you kind of give us an overall sketch of how this program is supposed to work, because it's not as simple as I've described it, just paying felons not to commit crimes.
Yeah, I mean, I think that that's probably some of the misinformation that's happened around the legislation. And, you know, I think there's this misperception that people are going to get paid to stay at home and to just hang out or to do nothing as it relates to this legislation, and that's not true. I mean, I think that it's really about making sure that individuals who have had previous encounters with the justice system or with you know, incarceration, that we're really looking at opportunities for them to really come back into the community and to really help, you know, for many of them, they've done negative or bad things in the community, many times their own communities, and this gives an opportunity for them to get training and for them to receive compensation for some of that training and preparation, in fact, for them to change their trajectory, to change their path to gainful employment so that they have an opportunity to be positive contributors into the society.
Well, let me ask you, how are they picked? How many are we talking about, and how much money are we talking about?
And so I think the details of the plan are yet to be established. Right. And so, I mean, we definitely, you know, Councilmember McDuffie, you know, this is his baby, his project. I definitely support the project and voted to support the legislation. And so, you know, that is a part of the legislative process. Right. You know, the first step is to get the council to vote on the legislation that will create the Office of Neighborhood Engagement where this program will be, and then it'll be about how much money we're able to get to fund the program that will dictate the number of individuals who will be able to participate and at what salary are they paid, if they're paid a stipend. I mean, one of the things that we know is that we want to be able to compensate people fairly and compensate them in a way that, again, they're able to do some of the things that those of us in other forms of employment are able to do. And people want to be able to take care of their family. And, if you ask many people across the ward, myself included, mm-hmm. we have relatives in our family that have been incarcerated and need a second chance and need a pathway to be able to gain employment and to, again, become positive contributors to their community.
Simone, let me ask you your thoughts about this briefly before we go to the phone lines.
Well, I disagree with the council member because she just said that they don't have a plan in place, and this is what scares me. I agree with wanting to help this population, and we have to realize that this is a very unique population. But you have council member that we elected into office, not one, two, or three, but a group of council members, and you are saying that we don't have a plan in place yet, but you are asking for this. You come straight from an idea to implementation. There's no strategic plan, no strategy. Where are they going to go? How many are we talking about? What are the crime that they have committed? What are the different groups that we are dealing with? We have to, I think that these council members are supposed to come with community leaders, someone like the Hope Foundation organization and other organizations, those who are working with these people in jail and out of jail, mm-hmm. and see what we can come together and give them some ideas on how this can work best for these people. But this is totally wrong.
Let me go to the phone lines before I go back to the council member.
I'd like to respond.
Real quick, go ahead, because we got our phone lines are burning up.
First of all, it's a democratic society, so I appreciate anyone that agrees, but also that disagrees. And I disagree with language and saying these people, because this isn't a population of these people. This is our people. This is our community. These are people who live in our community who are coming back to their community. And there was a public hearing that lasted, I think maybe till 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning, where we heard from the community as it relates to this legislation. And, we're going to make sure that as we move forward with the process, I know Corey Knight and the Hope Foundation and the great work that he's doing, and I am working with him.
You mean Ray Bell.
Oh, I'm sorry, not that, the Hope Foundation with Corey Knight, but I know Raymond Bell who's working.
Ms. Lloyd misspoke. We're talking about the Hope Project with Raymond Bell, but please continue because I want to get to the phones.
Gotcha. And so we're going to make sure that we're as diligent as we possibly can in making sure the implementation of this program benefits the intended beneficiaries.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Jabori, calling from Northwest D.C. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Two things. First, I applaud Councilman Member Duffy for having some sense to use a program that has been established in Richmond, California, to work and not only save the city money, but also improve the quality of life of everybody. But, Mr. Fish, I have a little bone to pick with you. First of all, you sensationalized this story.
No, I didn't sensationalize it at all. I oversimplified, and that is why I asked the council member to explain in detail, because this is an extremely complicated issue. So, but please, go right ahead.
Okay, right. But that's how you introduced the subject matter. You said, is it a good idea to pay people, when in fact it was much more nuanced than that. And the second thing you did was you called people who committed felonies felons. They're not felons. They're human beings who have created a crime.
I think you're dealing with semantics, I have a problem with this, because the reality is that we're not just dealing with just generic human beings. We are trying to address a very, very specific
population issue.
Yeah, absolutely. So, Jabori, I appreciate your comment. I disagree. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Council member, what do you say to people who will say, why must we, you know, pay people to get an education, to go into a program, when we have other populations that are just doing it without the extra money?
Well, I mean, I think what happens is we have to be sensitive at looking at what opportunities we're making available across the gamut mm-hmm. populations for across the city. That is for those who are returning citizens and those for, you know, I talk to people all the time and say, you know, what opportunities are for me? I've never been arrested or my son has never been arrested. And I think the city needs to be focused on employment across the gamut. I will say to kind of piggyback on what the caller said is, you know, what this conversation is, and I appreciate it, it's picking out one aspect of the NEAR Act, and it's not looking at the totality of what this legislation will do. This is one part of an overall comprehensive legislation, which for the first time in the District of Columbia, we're looking at crime as a health issue, as a health epidemic. And so we're changing the way that we're looking at public safety and crime in the District of Columbia, and it's going to take multiple avenues at being able to get to a place where we're able to serve all of the residents in the District of Columbia.
Let's go to Cookie. Cookie calling from Waldorf. Thanks for calling, Cookie. What's on your mind?
Hi. I just wanted to just ask one question. They have a impact empowerment program that comes out of D.C. So I'm just trying to find out what's the difference between paying them to get the training and allowing them to come out of jail and get the training from Project Empowerment.
Council member, are you familiar with that?
Yeah, Project Empowerment is a different program, right? And we'll continue to support Project Empowerment. And Project Empowerment, what we do is Project Empowerment, our returning citizens go through that program, which is now housed under the Department of Employment Services. And what Project Empowerment does is it subsidizes employment for residents with different employers, with the intent for those employers to hire the individuals from Project Empowerment after the subsidy. I think the subsidy goes on for 6 months, I believe, is what we subsidize their employment. And again, I think it's important to realize that there is not going to be one answer for any population in the District of Columbia, but very specifically for our returning citizen population. And so we've got to have a multi-layered or a multi-tiered approach at being able to make sure. I mean, I introduced a legislation called the Social Equity Empowers Dreams Act, which we believe is going to be transformative legislation. And one of the things that I do in the legislation is offer incentives for businesses who hire returning citizens. We offer incentive for businesses to hire individuals transitioning out of the Marion Barry Summer Youth Employment Program. There's $2,500, $3,000 for those if you hire a returning citizen, $3,500 if you hire the other hard-to-employ population.
Well, Council Member, hold on. Do you have an extra 5 minutes? Because I've got to take a 15-second break.
Absolutely.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate it. If you're on the phone, Diana, Ronnie, please stay with us. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're going to continue this conversation on the other side on Sirius XM Channel 141. Jeff Brown is next with the original Quiet Storm on 96.3 WHUR. Stay with us. More of this conversation in 15 seconds.